You're listening to the Live Free Now podcast, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. Find us online at livefreenow.show. And now your host, John Bush. Hey friends, John Bush here with the Live Free Now show. And today we are going to be talking about alternatives to public school. Of course, we are in the midst of some hysteria, what some are calling a pandemic, which others are calling a plandemic or a scandemic. But regardless of how you feel about COVID, there is no denying the changes that are taking place in so many different aspects and facets of our lives. And one of those areas where there's going to be some big changes, there's already been some big changes with many parents experiencing homeschooling for the first time, their kids staying home all day, is schooling, public schooling, and education for children. Everybody's talking about the new normal, and in my opinion, the old normal wasn't ideal in so many different ways for this society, but the new normal with social distancing and everyone wearing masks and such fear in our lives is not good either. So I wanted to do this video because last time I was doing a video about freedom cells, small mutual aid groups aimed at achieving common goals. And there were many people that seemed to be very interested in the section I was talking about regarding education. So today we are going to be talking about alternatives to public schooling. Now, I just started using this whiteboard function, and I'd love your feedback on if you think it adds to it, if you think it takes away. I already know that my handwriting needs some work, so that wasn't one of my strong suits in public school, but we're gonna roll with it and see how it works. So I have two children. They're 7 years old and 8 years old, and we did unschooling for quite some time. Started mixing some homeschooling, and now they do a little bit of homeschooling, and they also go to a private school that's Reggio Emilia. So I'm going to talk about specifically three different alternatives to public schooling, and we're going to talk about one, private schools. We're going to talk about two, homeschooling. And we're going to be talking about three, unschooling. And I specifically am doing it in this order because as you go down the line, you basically increase in the freedom for the child and it gets further away, a deviation from what the child may be used to in public school. This is a conversation not only for those parents who have their children in public school now, but are looking for alternatives, but also for children who may do homeschooling or unschooling or private schools and are just looking for some advice and some guidance. I'm also going to talk about how freedom cells, just small groups, you don't have to call it freedom cells, but how small groups and small community little tribes can really help to ease this transition. So first, I just want to point out how crazy some of this stuff is going on, this new normal, okay? I also want to point out that I'm a libertarian. I'm a libertarian-leaning anarchist. I don't think that government or the state as an institution benefits mankind. And I personally have a bias against public schooling. Malcolm X said, only a fool would let his enemy teach his children. And as a libertarian, my enemy is the state, right? So I'm going to share this conversation as though I'm speaking to my base, which is also libertarians, liberty-minded people, outside-of-the-box thinkers, radicals, and anarchists. But I'm also going to be hopefully speaking to, hopefully don't get turned off by my extreme rhetoric, but I also want to talk to people that are a little bit more in line with mainstream society and that don't necessarily have a problem with public school. But as I said earlier, I'm not a big fan of the new normal, and I do have some critiques of public school in and of itself outside of the changes that are going to be taking place with COVID. One of them is just foundationally, fundamentally, the work of John Taylor Gatto really demonstrates how the American public schooling model comes from a Prussian model. And as it was instituted in this country in the 1800s, and especially in the 1900s, there was a purpose-driven design so as to produce American citizens that are good at occupying the workforce. Now, of course, I mean, I didn't even have a lot of entrepreneurial spirit instilled as a child, but it's good to be productive, right, and to earn a living. But the goal at the time was a lot of filling the factories as we were seeing capitalism expand in America. So there's an element of encouraging the development of a child that doesn't necessarily question authority. In public schools, children are made to accept authority, whether it's the authority of the teacher, the authority of the scientist, or the authority of the state, especially with the Pledge of Allegiance every morning. And maybe some of you viewing this are okay with that. I'm not a big fan of that whole thing, too. And I don't. There's a lot of indoctrination going on there as well. Not to mention, many public schools are failing and receiving some failing grades as far as testing. Testing's another issue. There's just such a push to teach to the test rather than teach to encourage critical thinking, teach to foster a child's interest, which we'll talk a lot about when we talk about unschooling. There's also a lot of bullying that takes place, and then another thing is, like, everyone's like, well, what about homeschooling? We want our children to be socialized. Well, I would argue if homeschooling, private school, and unschooling, if done right, not really a whole right or wrong way, but if the parents can foster socialization in the children, oftentimes they can socialize children better than if they were in public school. Because if you notice, in public school, all of the children hang out with kids of the same age, right? And that's not a natural phenomenon within our lives or within a tribe setting with early humans, right? You know, bullying, drug use, indoctrination, budget cuts, you know, and then there's schools that are failing. It's like, let's just throw more money at it. I'm not jiving with the normal. And maybe there's some parents that were on the fence, like, hey, I was thinking about homeschooling, I was thinking about private school. I'm really not satisfied with the level of service that my public school is delivering to my children. And the problem with public schools is that they derive their revenue from taxation. So there isn't a mechanism of correction like a private school may have, whereby if the school doesn't deliver a quality level of service, a quality education, which would be the output product, right? An educated child, a fulfilled, happy child, not just about academic education, but a fulfilled child that has good social emotional learning, right? Then you can take your money elsewhere and that school will be like, wow, we really need to change. We're losing parents. They're dropping like flies. But the public school continues to get the tax revenue no matter what. And in fact, there's this perverse incentive. In fact, when a school is failing, the bureaucrats send more money to the school. So I just wanted to make the point that the new normal of public schools isn't all that, you know, isn't all that it's made out to be. It may be for some people. It may be for some families. But for most of the people that are probably watching this video, it's not for them. And if you're on the fence with how things already were, then this is for you. But I want to give you a glimpse of how things could be and how things will be in many different school districts. So check this out. This is a post that's been going around, and it's what school is going to be like in this one particular school district. This comes from the schools, I believe. So, of course, you'll have social distancing. A lot of people are concerned and worried. Children growing up, you know, thinking that this social distancing thing is to be the new normal. And, like, that's just what they experience. So social distancing on the bus, COVID-19's totally emphasized. It's already emphasized. If you're watching the news and media, it's all over the place. Surfaces, everything's clean daily. The nurse looks like a freaking stormtrooper. I'm sorry, the bus driver looks like a stormtrooper when you walk in. There's just a dehumanizing element of the mask. Children are going to be all spaced out. Everyone's temperature is going to be taken constantly when you're going into the school. This doesn't have to be the new normal. The constant washing of the hands. Just a quick note, I butt heads with a lot of people about this whole COVID thing. For one, I reject a lot of what the experts say and the experts believe. Two, government has a lot of flaws and they're putting out a lot of competing information and they all have their own agenda as well. But, I'm a natural guy and I understand that a good gut bacteria, a good immune system is the most important thing that we can do to fight viruses. Viruses are all, we don't have to necessarily fight viruses, right? Virus is new genetic information that we can benefit from as we evolve as human beings. And when everyone is just constantly washing their hands, they're killing the good bacteria as well. When everyone is dependent on vaccinations, for example, or dependent on external influences in order to boost the immune system, that puts us in a really tricky situation. If everyone's staying inside, avoiding vitamin D, studies are showing that a lot of the people that are having really ill effects from coronavirus, from COVID-19, have vitamin D deficiency. So this is just what's going to continue on with children if they're going into this public school with this new normal, as it's being called. And then they're going to be disinfecting everything. Who knows what chemicals or whatever is on these little spray guns? I don't know. It's just nuts. Everybody's going to be social distancing. The schools are going to, some of these schools are saying that they're only going to allow 25% capacity and they're going to choose that 25% based on which children have the most needs or which children are struggling academically. And look at this big brother camera here. I know schools are slowly but surely becoming more and more big brother, but it's going to be even more so the case where the children are tracked, traced, their name badge, RFID, all sorts of stuff. So this is how kids are going to be welcome. Notice the fence there in the background, more looking like a prison than a public school. I don't know what this camera does. It probably identifies the child through facial recognition technology so they know that they're there. You know, this is bad news bears. And then again, we have the nurse there. That it's just, man, checking temperature all the time. It's like an OCD type situation. This is also taking place when in reality, children are less affected than adults. And then there was this thing going on about this inflammatory disease when it's like, oh, nobody's scared for their children. So we better crank out the propaganda about this inflammatory disease. But then when you read each of the news articles and even read the release from the British hospital and the American hospital in New York that wanted to talk about it, they didn't even have a clear connection between COVID and this inflammatory disease that they saw occurring. The child had an inflammatory disease and also happened to have COVID. But in the case of New York, there's like 25% of the population has COVID antibodies. So a lot of the public doesn't read the actual article or read through to the bottom of the article or read an article and then go research the sources on their own. They just see the headline that says children aren't as invincible as we thought. Are children now vulnerable to the COVID virus? This inflammatory disease is taking place. So in all reality, the evidence that I've seen really points to the fact that children, more so than any other population, are the least vulnerable to the COVID virus. However, nonetheless, they still want to instill this type of situation for the public schools. I understand that kids can be carriers and kids aren't as hygienic as adults are. But either way, 42% of the people that have died from COVID in this country were in nursing homes. And a good majority of those came from states where the stupid politicians sent COVID patients to the nursing homes rather than having them in the hospital. But I digress. So these are just some of the pictures I wanted to share. 4 persons max in the bathroom. It's just going to be a brave new world, really, and a lot of people are not really into it. So now let's get down to the meat and potatoes. I wanted to share with you what this is going to be like, what some alternatives are. I want to share with you what some alternatives are that hopefully will help you to understand that there are other ways to educate your children. There are other ways to raise your children, okay? And in many ways, even outside of COVID, these ways are beneficial in a variety of different areas. So let's begin. We'll start with private schooling, which it's probably most, you know, people would be most comfortable with private school. Now, there are going to be some private schools, larger institutions that are a little more mainstream that adopt a lot of these social distancing policies. But one thing that private schools benefit from over public schools is a lot of them have a smaller class size. So if you're able to afford certain private schools, then there's a benefit in that their kids aren't going to always have to be masked up. My kids' private school, they are taking their temperature. The class sizes are so small that the kids don't necessarily have to be social distance all the way apart throughout the entire day. They do stay with their own class and not intermingle with the other classes. Okay, so for those of you that are watching in Austin, Texas, I invite you to check out Wholesome Generation, wholesomegeneration.org. It's based on the Reggio Emilia educational approach. So private school, you go to your city, you look up the private schools, and now we're just going to talk about a few different types of private school that are pretty popular. We're going to talk about Waldorf. We're going to talk about Montessori. We should touch on Montessori first. Montessori, don't quote me on that. And we're going to talk about Reggio Emilia. These are three big popular ones. Montessori especially is for younger children. Waldorf goes all the way through high school. There's a high school here in Central Texas that does Waldorf. As we'll also see, Waldorf has a homeschool curriculum, and Reggio Emilia is not necessarily a homeschool thing, but all right, we'll get into some of this. So we're going to use Wikipedia. I don't always use Wikipedia, but we're just going to make things easy on ourselves here. There's not a lot of controversial stuff, of course. Wikipedia sometimes censors stuff and whatever, but I appreciate all the comments. I'll try to get to some of them later on. I'd love your feedback if you like my little whiteboard and stuff. So this is Montessori school is especially for younger children, and it comes from Maria Montessori. She was the educator that came up with this child-centered educational approach based on scientific observations of children. Montessori's methods have been used for over 100 years in many parts of the world, and chances are if you live in a mid-size or large city, there are Montessori schools in your area. Now, unlike public schools, the Montessori schools use mixed-age classrooms. Children from 2.5 or 3 to 6 years old, by far the most common. There's also 0 to 3, 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 15, 15 to 18. So Montessori will be able to serve your children's educational needs beyond just the early age. There's a lot of hands-on stuff, a discovery model, which I think is really important. A lot of these alternatives we're going to talk about, it's more so child-led than public schooling is. And, you know, public schooling, even more so than being parent-led, is government and bureaucrat-led. And then politics gets mixed in, and there's like conservative biblical bureaucrats on the school board, the Texas State Board of Education. And then there's liberal that want to push their own type of agenda, right? And you don't get to pick what your children learn. Maybe you get to opt out of the sex education and stuff. But if you're like a conservative-leaning Christian literalist and you believe that marriage should be between a man and a woman, or you object transsexual lifestyle, right? A lot of these public schools, especially in more liberal states or liberal areas, are now teaching acceptance, toleration, right? I'm speaking in just general terms because I have no problem with marriage between a man and a man, or a woman and a woman. I have no problem with transsexuals or so on and so forth. I don't necessarily think that this should be introduced at such a young age, right? But those are my own views. Conversely, if you are more liberal-leaning and you're more tolerant of certain areas and you live in a very Christian conservative school district or so on and so forth, they may be teaching a little more Christianity in the schools than you'd like, or may have prayer, so on and so forth. The point is, it's a one-size-fits-all situation, and oftentimes it's the government or the school board that is leading the child's education rather than the parent, which you get to choose at least what private school, if it's aligned with your values, with your principles. In homeschooling, you get to choose 100%. And in unschooling, it's actually child-led. So as we can see with my little chart here, you know, there's also – we also have a deviation where you have public schooling here. So here's public schooling with the schoolhouse. And then you have the private school, a smaller schoolhouse. And then you have homeschool, which is the little book that you're reading with your kids at night. And then you have unschool, which we're just going to put a smiley face because kids seem to really like unschooling because there's more freedom. But you have like control, government, and then parent-led, you know, teacher-led. And so as you go this way, you end up with more freedom, more child-led, right? As you go this way, you end up with more government-led, less child-led. I just wanted to point that out. And so, and we're going to talk about the various different schools of thought. A lot of them are more child-led, and Montessori is one of those child-led, instructivist, hands-on learning. Reggio Emilia as well, Waldorf as well. These are why these are really beneficial, in my opinion, because when a child is able to foster a intrinsic love of learning rather than an external push onto them, especially by bureaucrats, then it creates a situation, an environment where there's more of a love of learning. All right, so that's Montessori school. Montessori is super popular. There's tons of Montessori schools all over the place. Chances are in your area for sure. So Montessori school is very popular. There's a lot of playing and art. And one thing that they emphasize as well is like home economics type stuff, kitchen, cleaning up after yourselves. And the setup of the classroom is a very important role as well. I'm not an expert on Montessori. I could probably be closer to an expert on Reggio Emilia because that's what my kiddos are doing. Juanita, who I went to high school, says, I'm curious about your kiddo's school. Yeah, feel free to PM me. It's called Wholesome Generation. They're definitely accepting folks for the fall, and it's not going to be like the public school stuff that we just went over. All right, another great situation is Waldorf. This came from Rudolf Steiner, founder of Anthroposophy. Its pedagogy strives to develop the pupils' intellectual, artistic, and practical schools in an integrated and holistic manner. One thing that's different about Waldorf education is Waldorf breaks up the child's developmental years into three distinct classes. Let's see what we got going. I think they talk about it there. Yeah, there's a preschool and kindergarten, birth to age six. There's elementary, 7 to 13. And then there's secondary education, 14 and up, which is kind of like high school. And so my kiddo's mother found this awesome homeschooling curriculum called Christopherus. If you just Google Christopher and then it's like U.S., Christopherus. And there was an early preschool to kindergarten ones that we used with the children. And really, it was about being engaged with nature. It encouraged you to have a nature table, for example. It was a lot of play and learning through play and social learning, right? That's the first phase. And it wasn't until the child turns seven that you actually start to introduce academics. And the academics are introduced slowly and naturally, right? So my kids did unschooling. There's a little bit of radical unschooling, which we'll talk about mixed in. And then we started doing this Christopherus Waldorf type, but it wasn't very different from what our family was already doing with an emphasis on play, hands-on, being out in nature, gardening, nature table. And the academics were introduced. And my kiddos, like I said, go to this private school now that does Reggio Emilia, which is very similar to what we are already doing. They went for 3 days last semester. They're going to be going for 4 days this semester. So it still affords opportunity for the kids to experience life, to be with their parents, to be with their friends, to pursue their interests, as we'll talk about more when we talk about unschooling. But there was always this like internal struggle, and it's like family and people I'm close to. It's like, gotta learn to read. Reading's so important. And then there was a comparison to children in public school as far as when the reading ought to take place. But being unschoolers at our core early on, we knew that that's something that's best left to develop a little bit more naturally. And a child at age 6 or 7 doesn't necessarily need to be able to read a newspaper or need to be able to read in order to function throughout their childhood, right? It all happens, too. It happens naturally. There's a lot of unschoolers and radical unschoolers that are completely hands-off. And sometimes the children don't learn to read till 9, 10, 11, or later. But eventually they all learn to read, right? My daughter is reading, and she's reading so well, and I'm so proud of her. My son, she's 8. My son, who's 7, is starting to learn to read and starting with the smaller words, and he's been working on it for a while. He's 7, right? So according to the Waldorf philosophy, he should barely even be starting, right? And that's okay, right? It's not something that I'm stressed out about where he should be this and he's going to be having to take these big assessment tests coming up, so on and so forth. It's more of a natural evolution with less pressure, right? And there's even a little tension between their mom and I as far as how natural and how much leadership or how much direction should be coming. But the cool thing about the Reggio Emilia school and the Reggio Emilia approach, which we'll talk about here in a sec, is it too is more relaxed, and it comes naturally, and it's more about exploring and learning. And a lot of times in public school, a child's childhood is taken away from them because there's such an emphasis on academics, right? So maybe this whole COVID thing and this new normal is going to create a new opportunity for children to thrive, to strive. Okay, so at age 7, you start learning. There's a lot of art. There's a lot of drama. There's a lot of theater. And then age 14 and up, it gets more into the high school, a little bit deeper routines when it comes to art, music, and craft. Also in Waldorf, there's like these projects. You learn through these projects that take a longer amount of time. So I need to pick it up, actually, my tempo here. Reggio Emilia comes from a region in Italy. Reggio Emilia is the region, and it came out of World War II when everyone was like, oh, my God, World War II, that was so terrible. What are we doing? We got to do things differently. And it's really like a community-driven, child-driven approach to education. And Reggio Emilia, there's three different teachers, not just the teacher at the school, but the main teacher is the student, the child. Then there's the teacher, and then there's the environment. And there's a strong emphasis on nature and environment and interacting and engaging with your environment. At my kids' school, which is absolutely amazing, against Wholesome Generations up in North Austin, the campus is on 5 acres. There's a creek that runs through it. They have a garden, an amazing playground. There's chickens. They do yoga, mindfulness. And so I tried really hard to find a alternative private school that was in line with my family's principles and how my children were raised. And chances are, if you live in a big city, there's all sorts of alternatives out there that aren't just so rigid, structured, sit down, sit in a table all day, learn from this book. There's going to be a quiz at the end of the week and a test at the end of the quarter or whatever. And here in Austin, there's this awesome website called altedaustin.com. And you'll find in this amazing city, Austin, Texas, there are so many different choices as far as alternative schools go. And I just want to point out, again, in most major cities, there's tons of choices that you can have. It doesn't have to be Waldorf, Reggio Emilia, or Montessori. There's a lot of stuff going on. So this is, I don't know how many you can see, 32 elementaries, 25 preschools, 22 middle schools, 16 high school, 10 specialty school. That all totals up to probably somewhere around 100 different choices for alternative education schools. And when I say alternative, a lot of these have an emphasis on more of the hippy-dippy approach, right? Which is right in line with my family and my life. And you may find that giving the child more freedom, getting an education that's more in line with the child's nature will enable them to flourish rather than being in a desk, rather than being inside most of the day. At the Reggio Emilia school, they are outside for a majority of the daytime. And as a child, I got into a lot of trouble in public school because it just wasn't in my nature to be confined, to be sitting in this chair the whole time. And I would act out for attention and blah, blah, blah. And like probably had ADD, right? Never diagnosed with it. Thank God I wasn't, or my parents didn't try to put me on Ritalin or something. But I was always like wanting to do stuff and go and be and run and so on and so forth. So a lot of these schools afford the children the opportunity to explore, to lead, right? A child, even though a child, right? Parents and adults oftentimes are wiser in some ways, but the child needs the ability to express their own identity, their own individuality, their own freedom, which will lead them more likely to develop into a free human being that understands their own sovereignty. And as a libertarian, to get back onto that stuff, like it's no wonder why so many people in this country willingly accept external control, the external control of authorities, whether it's police or their doctor or the government or taxation or being accepting of going off to war because they got sold a bill of goods on Fox News or CNN, which both support the war machine. It's precisely because the public schools instill such a belief in authority. And in my opinion, they kind of beat down that ability to discern right from wrong on your own, that critical the faculties of critical thinking, you know, they talk about and they do give platitudes to critical thinking in public school. But at the end of the day, you better obey that authority, the teacher, or you're going to get in trouble. You're going to get humiliated in front of your classmates. So those are some different public school alternatives. I'm sorry, private school alternatives. And so now let's talk about homeschooling. Now, of course, one thing to consider here is that with private school, that affords the parents the opportunity to continue to earn a living. Now, we have seen a societal breakdown, and it's been really interesting to examine how synergistic, how intricate, how interconnected the various institutions in society are. For example, because of this COVID stuff, because of the lockdowns, the children aren't able to go to school. Therefore, they have to be at home with the parents. Therefore, the parents struggle with their ability to earn a living. And people just, you know, a lot of time people recognize, of course, what a public school is, what a private school is as well, is sending your kids off somewhere. And in some forms, it's a form of childcare, right? Hopefully it's a childcare that's beneficial, that's enriching as well, right? I would argue that public school isn't as enriching as some of these alternatives are. But we see that for two parents that both work, it's extremely beneficial to have an institution where your children can be taken care of, where they can be fed and where they can be enriched, where they can learn, where they can have a social life with other students, right? All of a sudden, all of these parents that didn't have that before, that depended on the public schools for that, were having to homeschool now, and that can create some chaos. I myself had, like, we unschooled the children for the bulk of their lives. Then we started this loose Waldorf Christopher's homeschooling curriculum. But I still would struggle when I would work from my home office, or when I had the kiddos, when me and their mom split up and I had the kiddos, and it was my time to have them and be there with them and love them. But also I needed to pay the bills and stuff. And so there'd be this short circuiting that would take place when I would be taken away from the work, helping the kids. Kids are fighting, got to cook a meal, trying to work still. It's nuts. And I got a glimpse of that again because they were at the private school for the beginning of a semester. And things were going great. They were starting to integrate. Things were good. I was able to earn better now because I'm able to go and focus, right? And have a consistent, consecutive 6 hours of focus, which is something I didn't have for quite some time. And then whenever the lockdowns happened and the private school was closed for a little while, thankfully it opened earlier than the public schools opened again because of the small class size, again, because it's outside, right? I went back to the short circuiting. It was like, man, I didn't miss that, right? So it's all about balance, and every family is different. But for families that need to work, then maybe private school is more ideal than homeschooling. For families perhaps where the mother or the father goes off and they earn the income for the family, but the mother or the father, and I say mother or father, right? Oftentimes it's the mother, but things are different these days. Sometimes it's the father as well. Maybe homeschooling can work. Maybe when the children are younger, they still want to have time to form that bond with the parent, right? Maybe you can't afford the private school and you just got to figure out a way to make it work. So that is where homeschooling comes into play. Now, there's a traditional homeschooling, which is you go out and let's go over to my little whiteboard here, my trusty little whiteboard. And so what do? You do research. This essentially is the same thing if you're picking a private school. But first, you're going to run a research. You're going to want to find some social groups. You're going to find some people on social media to ask for some support and some help. And then you're going to want to find a curriculum. That's a C. Don't mind my spelling either. And the one that we did, and that we, their mom still does on the days that they're not at school and on the weekends and stuff, it's called Christopher's. It's Waldorf. Really cool, super exceptional, not very expensive. You find a curriculum. There's a Ron Paul curriculum for those of you that are libertarians or fans of Ron Paul. It's a little Christian. There's a lot of Christian emphasis in it, which is fine, right? And then you teach and you figure out how to do it. And so you can set up a room in your house. You can make sure that the dinner table is always cleared off, and that's where you do the teaching. And homeschooling, essentially, the parent teaches the child. Now, if you kind of let go a little, if you find yourself not able to afford private school, and you don't want to send the kids back to public school, if you can let go of that voice in your head, maybe it's your parents, maybe it's your neighbors, maybe it's comparing your children to your siblings' children or whatever it is, if you can let go of that voice and let things develop organically, you may find that it's not so hard as you thought it was to educate or teach your children. And when there's less pressure on the child, you may also find that they will develop more of a natural interest in learning themselves. Now, I believe that it's good to get that foundational reading mathematics, right? And then understanding of science, history, and all that stuff. But once that foundational knowledge can be instilled with the children, oftentimes they take it and run with it on their own. So, but you kind of got to let go. It doesn't have to be so rigid and so top down and so authoritarian, right? Because you can have an authoritarian public school, an authoritarian structure. You can also have authoritarian parents that are teaching the children as well. And I would argue that it's best to let the child lead, to be patient, so on and so forth. So at this point, you know, I'm going to go ahead and talk about how Freedom Cells can help in this situation and small groups, right? Again, thank you everyone for tuning in. If you have comments or anything that you want to talk about, feel free to comment and we'll have a conversation as well. If you have any questions or anything, here's how a group, a small group, a Freedom Cell can help with the homeschooling. So you can get together with eight other families. The number eight is because a group of eight tends to be the most creative, the most effective. It doesn't have to be eight. It can be four. It can be three. It can be 10. Doesn't matter. But let's say you have a group of eight people, a Freedom Cell, call it whatever you want. And that group can come up with goals. And this is how you're going to help yourselves and you're going to form a homeschool cooperative. I should also say that the burden, not in a negative way, but the burden doesn't necessarily have to be on the parents entirely when it comes to homeschooling the children. There are many existing homeschool cooperatives that are just like 2 or 3 days. And so you do most of the stuff with your child 4 hours a day, 6 hours a day, not all just cramming and just curriculum, right? The Christopher's curriculum had a lot of stuff that had to do with art and colors and science and exploring nature. And then on Tuesday and Thursday, you take the children to the homeschool co-op and you pay, you know, X amount of dollars a month. And there's parents or a teacher that helps with the children that do activities. This is how they can also get socialization in. But I would say that you can even do your own homeschool cooperative. And so here's how you can do that. You get together a group of your fellow parents and you guys establish some group goals. Okay. And so the group goals can be that you guys are going to pool your money to buy a curriculum, right? That's one group goal. Second group goal is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you're going to get together at one of the parents' houses. And whosever house you're on, maybe that parent's going to take the lead. You're also going to get together twice a week to do a play date. You're going to go out to the park. You're going to go to the local science museum, whatever. I don't know. And then finally, you're going to have a little support phone call once a week. So this is why I'm all into this Freedom Cell thing. It's mutual aid. You can have a Freedom Cell that's a self-reflection spiritual development group. You can have a Freedom Cell that's a mastermind so you can all grow your income with your business. You can have a Freedom Cell so you can all find a new job or whatever. It's like an accountability group. You can have a Freedom Cell, a small group that can help assist with your homeschooling and growing your homeschooling. So that's how small groups, how Freedom Cells can benefit you. You can even you can get a Freedom Cell network together, and the idea is you have a group of eight. You have a group of eight. Can I copy this? Let me see. Yeah, baby. This makes life easier. Copy. Paste. Whatever. We're not going to learn here while I'm live. So you have a group of eight. Then you have another group of eight, 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 you have another group of eight. This is for your visionaries out there. When we eventually build out these Freedom Cell networks, what if you had all these different people? Let's say we have eight groups of eight, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. all of these people all come together, they all contribute X amount of dollars per month. That X amount of dollars goes to rent a physical space and to hire two teachers part-time. Then you all take your kids to this place, and now you have your own homeschool co-op, or you, essentially you can build out your own private school. This is how Freedom Cells can help in this regard as well. Okay. Now, thanks everyone again for watching. If you have any comments, if you have any questions, feel free to drop them in and we will respond to them. We'll rock and roll, move and groove, and we'll get through this together. Now, I am going to talk about Clear Canvas. Weird, it's not clearing. I'm going to talk now about unschooling. Okay, so unschooling, remember on our spectrum of control, government-led all the way to freedom, unschooling's all the way here down the line. So essentially, unschooling is what's commonly referred to as child-led learning or life learning. And it was a philosophy that came from a gentleman named John Holt, who, like John Taylor Gatto, was a former teacher. And he realized that the authoritarian top-down push the child to read this amount of this, all these expectations was hurting a child's ability to learn, right? And so he then started advocating for homeschooling. Then he realized, he took it a step further and realized that a child has a natural, intrinsic, innate desire to learn. And the best way to help foster that is to give that child the freedom to explore the world based on what their interests are, just to explore the world, to learn as they go. Now, this can be nerve-wracking, again, because of that inner voice, because of the societal expectations that a child should read by this particular age, so on and so forth. So many parents aren't willing to venture in to that level of freedom. But I've been to so many different unschooling conferences. We go to this retreat. It's not more of a retreat, like a community tribe thing. And I've seen adult unschoolers, teenage unschoolers, and it's a different type of human being. When a child has been given the freedom to explore and to develop into their own sense of self without having such an external version of what they ought to be imprinted upon them their whole lives, you really can have a unique free spirit. And it doesn't have to be some free spirit. They're all hippie going to the concerts, whatever. That could be cool too. It's just more of a sense of self, more of a sense of confidence that I've seen in these children. It's something that I see in my children too. I wanted to balance things out a little bit more with my children and have a little bit more leadership from the parent, a little more guidance. And I always say, like, first I would say I'm the captain of the ship, right? I want you to have, you have freedom, but I'm the captain of the ship. And then they rebelled on that one. They're like, no, we're not the cap. We're the captains of our own ship. So I said, okay, fine. You guys are the captains of your own ship, but I'm the admiral of the armada or the Navy, right? So you can chart your course, you can go this way, but you know, I'm developing the meta plan, whatever. It's a constant struggle. And my kids, you know, like I said before, they started off with unschool, almost total freedom. So now I'm trying to implement a little bit more structure. I do think that it's all about balance, right? So I'm all about the Buddha, the middle path. So I think that with unschooling comes great freedom, but as a child still developing, they could benefit from some consistency, stability, expectation, structure, right? And that doesn't have to come in the form of an authoritarian discipline or we're following this particular curriculum and we're going to do X number of hours every day. It can come in the form of a rhythm, of a flow of life, expectations. We do this every single, once a week we're doing this. Every day we wake up in this way at this time. We have breakfast, then we go on our walk, then we sit down and do our work, then whatever, right? And this, again, all this can overlap within. I'm kind of digressing here. But the unschooling really is child-led. So one thing that we did early on, my daughter was interested in dance. So we enrolled her in a dance class. And we tried to empower her as much as she possibly could to explore that dance. And as I said, my kids go to Reggio Emilia private school, but we still very much are in line with the unschooling in that whatever they're interested in, we go out of our way to facilitate that and to encourage that and to foster that. So my son, he never really got into an extracurricular activity like my daughter does dance and also horseback riding, but he is a green thumb if I ever saw one. And the kid will literally, if we're like in line picking up some food or we're out in front of my office, for example, he will pull us aside and we'll go dig up a little baby tree or plant, or he'll go and say, "Oh, that plant has seeds." He'll get seeds. He'll learn what the plant is. We'll plant it when we get back at home. He loves to garden. He loves to be out in nature. And so we've really tried to facilitate that and just let him be in that world and help empower that world. Green thumbs. I have visions of acquiring a property on acreage and building him a greenhouse, and then just letting it be his laboratory to explore botany and biology and all sorts of stuff like that. So that's really a lot of what unschooling is all about, facilitating the child's interests and helping to empower them to chart their own course on what they want to be educated about. So, you know, a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, 10-year-old, they may not want to spend a significant portion of their day learning to read, right? Learning to read and write. They may be just heavy interested in programming or computers, right? And the whole video game thing comes up. There's some children that played video games like, who is it? I think it's Bill Gates dropped out of high school or something. Or maybe it was Steve Jobs, one of these guys. A lot of these brilliant billionaire geniuses, they didn't have that rigid top-down force the school onto them. They were allowed to pursue their interests, right? So there's kids that are like obsessed with video games and video game this and computer and logging onto the Minecraft server. And then they go on to develop video games. They go on to be computer programmer, making a whole lot of money, right? So one of the objections that people have with the unschooling is the reading, the writing, the arithmetic. And one way that I see this come about naturally is a child gets so interested into a particular subject like Minecraft, for example, and they just get tired of asking their parent, "What does this say on the menu?" Or there's Minecraft books and they're like, "I'm so freaking obsessed with Minecraft." Minecraft's super popular in unschooling. "I'm so freaking obsessed with Minecraft that I want to read this Minecraft book so I can learn about the story of this dude." I forget the main character of the Minecraft thing. So oftentimes it comes about naturally, and it may not come about on the timetable that's expected based on public schooling standards or your parents' standards because they grew up in a different time. But if you give the child the freedom, if you can quiet that inner voice where you're judging yourself and you're worried about people judging you because your child's developing a little bit slower when it comes to reading specifically, there could be some promising stuff. Okay, and then there's radical unschooling. Radical unschooling. Unschooling is the let the child lead when it comes to education. Then you have radical unschooling, which is like let the child lead when it comes to almost everything, and like total freedom across the board. Freedom to eat whatever they want, whenever they want. Total peaceful parenting, hands off when it comes to discipline, so on and so forth. So we did the radical unschooling thing for a little while, but then we felt that we needed to balance it out with a little bit more leadership, a little bit more guidance from the parents. So that's one section, subsect of unschooling, is radical unschooling. Of course, Dana Martin, she's an amazing human being, amazing teacher, just awesome. She really kind of developed the whole radical unschooling idea and put it out to the world. If you search radical unschooling, if that's something that resonates with you, if you want total freedom, then you'll be able to find their radical unschooling group on Facebook. So small groups can also help by having an unschool group where you do meetups. There's one here in Austin that meets as a small group. They have a place that they rent it out full time, and that's where they go and do activities and play, and there's Lego, and they watch movies, and they do Lego building parties and arts and crafts and stuff like that. So it's all about building community. So I know a lot of people feel a little nervous about the transition away from public school, which is so simple, right? The kids hop on the bus or you drive them to school. They're gone for 8 hours. They come back. You're letting someone else take care of it. You are taking on responsibility for your child's education, right? More responsibility if it's unschooling and homeschool. Actually, more responsibility if it's homeschooling. Less responsibility, per se, if it's unschooling, because the child is really taking their education on their own, into their own hands. And again, I just want to point out, I've met some unschooled teenagers that can read, that are brilliant, that have a different level of confidence. Even the teenagers, when they're interacting with adults, they're not disrespectful in any way, but they talk to you as though they're on your level, not an authority figure. And then because they're older or they're the elder, the child is somehow subservient or less than them, right? They just have an air of confidence that I think could really be beneficial, especially when you go out into the world, navigating the world, not weak or afraid, but confident, assertive. Really can pay some dividends in your career, in your life as an adult. With the homeschooling, you are giving this institution a lot of responsibility, but you're choosing that. And you can choose a private school philosophy that's in line with your principles. That's one of the really things I appreciate about all these three different options that I talked about, the private schooling, the homeschooling, and the unschooling. You can ensure that it's in line with those principles. It's in line with the values that you have, right? And me being a freedom guy, I also want to honor my children's values and their desires. One thing that we see far too often with parents and children is that the parent tries to mold the child into their own image, right? So I've had to let go a whole lot. For example, my son doesn't care if his shirt's inside out or his pants are on backwards. I'm like, oh my God, are people going to judge me because he's dressed like that? And his hair's a little scruffy. And I've had to work on that and realize I want my child to have the autonomy and the freedom to choose that, right? I'm still showing him, I've become more successful in business. And I point out, if you're going to be in a certain business, there's going to be business meetings, you're going to shake hands, you're going to want to be presentable in these certain meetings and stuff. But the kid isn't in business and he's not in meetings. He's a freaking kid and he wants to have that self-expression. I'm allowing him that. So a lot of these different ways of parenting and schooling give the child more freedom to develop into their own unique individual rather than an automaton, which especially is the case with public schools, in my opinion. It doesn't happen all the time. There's still kids that become unique, become individuals, but there's a tendency towards one size fits all. There's a tendency towards, I want to fit in so I can be in line with the expectations of my parents, who are in line with the expectations of their parents, who are in line with the expectations of society. But as a child in public school, especially, there's a lot more of, I want to fit in with my friends, because bullying is more present. Whereas in some of these private schools where they have a different approach, where oftentimes the parents parented the child in a different way, so there's less judgment, less judgmentalness. It's not imparted upon the children, so there's less of that as well. There's more peace, cohesion, exploring, acceptance of one another. Okay, wow. So kind of rambling now. Want to thank everyone for following along. I want to thank everyone for checking this out. I'm going to share this with people anytime the conversation comes up where people are talking about making that leap of faith away from public schools. I think there's no better time than now. I'm just going to finish again on showing what we looked at on these pictures here of what the new normal is going to be. When it comes to public schooling, I don't know if this is an ideal environment to have a child spend most of their times with everyone masked up, with such a fear about germs and the viruses and everything going on, with disinfecting chemicals all over the place, social distancing. And I imagine authoritarian teachers are going to really get onto the kids about staying 6 feet apart. And it just isn't natural, right? And no matter what you think about the virus or the importance of social distancing or masking up, I just can't think that this is going to be good for children. And I hope that parents explore the alternatives. Maybe private school is out of someone's reach. I will say that there's all sorts of public programs and private nonprofit programs that help. And many private schools engage in bartering and all sorts of stuff like that. So don't just rule it out because you don't think you can afford the tuition. You may be surprised at how affordable it is, but I encourage you, if your gut is like, I don't know if going back to school is good for my kids, or maybe you're afraid of them being around other kids with parents that are essential workers or whatever, I strongly encourage you to explore the alternatives out there. And I hope this video has provided a little bit of awareness, a little bit of information about the options out there. I want to make myself available. You can comment in the comments below. I'll try to respond to as many people as possible. You can reach out to me. My name's John Bush. Find me on Facebook. Follow my YouTube channel and join the Freedom Cell Network, freedomcells.org. We have our own social network on the back end. We just broke over 2,000 people. These are people that have like mind, liberty-leaning, thinking outside of the box, that want to explore new alternative means of organizing society. And many of these people want to explore alternative means of educating your children. if you're more in the whole mainstream world, maybe you're a little more normal, so to speak. What does normal mean these days? I also want to make myself available. There's private schools out there. There's things that don't have to be this radical unschooling, but there's private schools out there that you may find are more in line with what it is that you, your values in the world, and just take that leap. And then again, with the homeschooling, let's say that you say the private schooling is out of my reach. We can barely afford to get by as is, let alone afford an extra $500, $1,500 a month to pay for a private school. Well, you can organize into small groups. Call it Freedom Cell, call it you and your crew, whatever you want to call it. You can do a homeschool cooperative. Let's say you have five different families and each of the parents takes lead on one of the days. You only have one day. Those other 4 days you can work. Maybe you work 5 days a week and your job, you can choose those 5 days. So you work on Saturday, but you have Monday off. That's your day. The point is there are solutions out there. You just have to have the will and you have to trust in yourself. Trust in the universe. Trust in your community. Community is so important. You don't have to go it alone. You can utilize community in order to make this leap even bigger. So thank you so much. Sarah says, great information. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. I'm glad that you appreciated it. Aho, excellent knowledge in this video. Props. Thank you, Lion Wolf with a PH. Sending your kiddo to school will make them to be retarded. Don't do it and be responsible. Well, I wouldn't go that far, and I don't appreciate your use of the word retarded there. The scientists are not taught how the body works in one whole unit. They can't heal people, and we should end their rule over our health choices. The goal is resource-based economy to reach their need. We need individual rights and the war on freedom. Okay, cool. Hey, thanks everyone for tuning in. This is John Bush with Live Free Now. Signing out. Peace and freedom. I appreciate your feedback. And let's continue the conversation. And I would like to help you if you want to make that leap away from public schools to private schools, homeschooling, unschooling. I'm here. Peace and freedom. I'm out. Thanks. Bye-bye.